Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Well, we're going to get into the Word, and I've been for one of the first times since we planted the Well in 2020, and God has been so faithful over these past 3 years, I've really been wrestling this morning as to what I'm supposed to preach. Now, don't worry, I didn't come unprepared. You know, anytime a preacher gets up and says, I just want to share from my heart, that's code for I did not spend time with God this week. I didn't read the Bible. I didn't pray. I really don't know what I'm going to say. I actually have a sermon that I worked on all week long, and you're going to be glad that I'm not preaching it, because anytime a preacher works on something all week long, you're going to be here for a while. And I really just stewed on it, and I really wanted to go back over what we talked about last week, but I feel like what the Lord's put on my heart, and I rarely do this, but we do have a podcast that is on thewellfp.church, and I would encourage you to go back if you weren't here last week and listen to last week, but also if you were not here Wednesday night, I talked about the prerequisites for the kingdom of God. Five things in the Word of God that it's a prerequisite to become a part of the kingdom. You know, the kingdom is not an exclusive club. Anybody can join. Anybody can come. But there are prerequisites. You must be born again in order to experience the kingdom of God. You must repent of your sin. So I encourage you to go back and listen to that. And I really wanted to go back to Romans chapter 14 where we were last week and reiterate where the kingdom of God is not, where the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And maybe we'll get that to that someday. But the Lord has really led me on a different path. As yesterday, I was praying and I was seeking God. And that's why I say to you, I did not come unprepared. I did spend time with God. And so what I'm going to share with you today is raw. It's not a rehearsed sermon. It's not a prepared sermon. In fact, I can show you my notes right here on this little piece of paper. That's all I got to share with you this morning. So it may be short. It may be long. Let's see what God's going to do this morning. But I feel like this is the word that he has for us to look at. And so if you would stand to your feet, grab your Bible, turn with me to the book of Luke, the 13th chapter. And we're going to read Luke 13. I was really just praying during praise and worship and saying, God, show me what direction. Who do you have here? How do you want to minister to the people that are here today? Because as I was praying for that fire hydrant of just that people would be able to come and get whatever they need, I feel like God was saying, this is what people that are here today have need of. And so I want to read Luke, the 13th chapter, and we're going to read verses 10 through 17. And I want to talk to you, the sermon title is Loosed. So again, I say it's not rehearsed, it's not uber prepared, but I did know the direction that the Lord may be leading me. And so we're going to look at Luke 13, 10 through 17, and then we'll pray, and I'll share with you what I feel like the Lord's put on my heart for the body of Christ today. Luke 13, verse 10. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. So Jesus was teaching on a Sunday morning at church. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and she was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, I want you to know today that no matter where you are, Jesus sees you. He knows what this woman had been dealing with for 18 years, and I'm sure she got to the point where she felt like, does anyone even see me? Does anyone even care? Does anybody even know the pain that I'm enduring and the suffering that I am going through and how hard it is and how much I just hurt at times? And Jesus steps into that place, and it says when Jesus saw her, he didn't look over her because it was like, well, I better not mess with that. Jesus went right for the person that was in the most pain, that had the most suffering. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. And he said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Listen to this. This is still typical today. But the ruler of the synagogue, the religious person, the man that thought he knew how things were supposed to go and the way church was supposed to be and the way it was supposed to function, this is how it's always been. Why did you come and interrupt our normal way of doing church? Why did you step in here? We'd been going through the motions. We've been having church. There was order. There was decency. Yeah, this woman was bound to infirmity, but at least it didn't mess up our religious traditions. So the ruler of the synagogue, he says in verse 14, with indignation, that means he was very mad. That means he was animated. Dale and Marla were telling me earlier, Marla was telling me that she went with a bunch of drama kids to something in Gadsden yesterday. And listen, there ain't no drama like drama kids, right? I've hung around. I had to go to prom one time with the drama group, and I was in the sports group. And I got stuck in the drama group, and I was a fish out of water. I was like, this is, y'all are the weirdest people I've ever been around in my entire life. No offense to drama people. But Dale said, amen. He answered with indignation. That means he was animated. He was mad. And he said, because Jesus, listen what he was indignant about. Listen what he was mad about. Because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, so he stood up and he addressed everybody else. And he says, listen, everybody, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. What a terrible way to live. What a bad understanding of the kingdom of God and the ways of God. Then the Lord answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, she's a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years. What Jesus is saying is, she's been bound. I want you to think of it. The way I would interpret that is, put yourself in this woman's place, ruler of the synagogue. Think about it. Think about what it would be like if you had to walk in her shoes. And every time you came to the Sabbath, and you kept coming, but you had to walk bent over, and you could in no way raise yourself up. It was beyond the realm of what you were able to do in yourself. Think about that for a minute, man. When you're sitting here judging and saying she can become and be healed the 6 other days, you think about it. He says, for 18 years, should she not be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? What is the Sabbath? The Sabbath is the Lord's day. What better day to get a touch from God than on the Lord's day? And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. And all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him, speaking of Jesus. Pray with me today. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray that today your word would go deep into our life. I pray that it would take root. God, I pray for people that are bound and they are restricted and they are held back to be set free. God, we rebuke the spirit of infirmity right now in Jesus' name. And I say, as Jesus said, you are loosed from your infirmity. God, let us not take the route of the ruler of the synagogue, but let us be open to the move of God and what Jesus wants to do in our life today. We give you free reign, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for being our Lord and our God and our friend and for welcoming us into your kingdom. And we give you free reign today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to take a seat with you this morning and try to figure out where we're going to start, what we're going to talk about. So in this story, Jesus is obviously at church, and it's amazing to me that here we are today, some 2,000 years later, and we are in the what we would call church culture. Most of you, it's probably not your first time at church. Most of you, it's probably not even your second, third, or fourth time at church. For the most of us, because we grew up in Alabama, you probably grew up going to church at least somewhat regularly. And even if you didn't as a child, apparently into adulthood, you've gotten to where you attend church. And it's become regular for people to attend church. In fact, nowadays, people consider themselves to be church people that don't even go to church. But because they're a member of a church, they think that they're a part of a church. Because they watch church online, they think that they're a part of the church. And because they, you know, said a prayer when they were 5 years old, that now they're a member of the church. And really all that is that's religion. That's not what it means to actually know God. And so here we are 2,000 years later, and we're in church culture. Jesus told Peter in Matthew chapter 18, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it's our heart, it's our desire, it's our goal that in this church, it would be his church. This isn't Spencer's church, it's not Madison's church, it's not Pastor Lauren or Bonnie's church or Pastor Jeff or Crystal's church or any of the leadership's church. It's not even your church, you're a part of his church. We are a part of his church. And at his church, things look the way he wants them to look. Not just the way that we've developed our mindset of we're going to come in and we're going to sing two fast songs and then we're going to sing two slow songs and then someone's going to get up and pray and then we're going to close out the time of worship. They might pass the baskets around and let us know what's going on, and then the pastor's going to tell us for about 30 minutes how we can be better people, and then he'll say bless you and we'll all go to the Chinese buffet and we'll eat. Maybe we beat the Baptist, but we don't quite beat the Church of God down to the buffet, and we're going to decide where we go based on how many cars are in the parking lot. You know, that's what has become the religious way of going to church. But when Jesus showed up at church on that Sabbath morning in the synagogue, the way that they'd been doing church began to change. Because when Jesus showed up, it wasn't just let's read a few lines out of the Torah, close the scroll, and say a few blessings and shake the rabbi's hand on the way out the door. Jesus came and he interrupted the way that they'd been doing things because he saw there was someone in their midst that came in bound and broken and hurting. And when Jesus saw it, he said, I cannot let that woman stay that way. Jesus wasn't at that time. He wasn't the ruler of the synagogue. So think of this. Jesus is sitting in the seats. And the ruler of the synagogue, he's the one that is going to be, you know, conducting the service that day. And it says that when Jesus was there, he came and he taught. And so he wasn't the ruler of the synagogue, but he was going to begin to teach. And as he taught, there was an interruption because he saw someone that had a need. And I believe that God looked down upon and he knew who was going to be here today. And he saw needs. He saw, you might not have walked in here bent over physically. And that's why it's a spirit of infirmity. Now, you might have physical things going on in your body. And I'll tell you this right now. We believe that there is not one thing that God cannot heal. Not one thing that God cannot do. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond what you could think. So that means that no matter what you came in here thinking was going to happen today, I'll go to church. I'll fulfill my religious obligation. I'll be a good person. I'll see people. I might give a little bit in the offering plate. I'll hear a little bit from the pastor. Maybe he'll make me laugh. Maybe he'll encourage me. But inside, maybe there's a spirit of infirmity. So no matter what you thought you were going to get, God can do yet greater. One of my favorite quotes concerning church that I would love to be said about here is that whenever people come to the Well Fort Payne and someone says, how was it that people would say, I got more than I came for? Because I thought I was coming to just enjoy church. I thought I was coming just to be a part of a community and a part of a body, and those things are great. But I hope that when people leave here, they go, I got more than I came for, and sometimes I got more than I bargained for. God touched me in a way that I didn't know he still moved. I didn't know God spoke like that. I didn't know God healed like that. I didn't know that God was still in that kind of business, but I'm telling you today, he is, and we're expecting God to heal people today. So he looked down. That's why I had another sermon prepared, but as I was praying, God led me to this passage. I haven't thought of this passage in a long time, but he led me to this passage. You know why? Because before the beginning of time, if you backed all the way up, and no matter how old you think the earth is, God saw this moment in time, and he knew you were going to be here at 2810 Green Hill Boulevard on November, I don't even know what day it is. It's November the 5th. He knew you were going to be on November the 5th. I do know it's 2023 at 11:01 a.m., and he knew that he saw you from the beginning of time. Like God told Jeremiah, he said, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. And before you were even in your mother's womb, before you were a twinkle in your parents' eye, God knew you were going to be seated here today, and he saw you. He saw the infirmity. He saw the brokenness. He saw the hurt. Now, the problem is we would rather stay hurt so that no one has to know our hurt than experience freedom and everyone know that we've been set free. Because we don't want to let anyone know I'm broken, I'm hurting, I'm empty, things are not right, things are not good. I was wounded by a parent. I was wounded by a friend. I was taken advantage of by a boss. I've made bad decisions, and it's left me. You know, the interesting thing is this text never tells us how this woman came to be in this condition. You know why, I think? Because no matter how you got there, he can get you out of it. You might have gotten there because somebody else put you in that position. You might have gotten there because you put yourself in that position. You might have had heartache after heartache, thing go wrong. But I'm telling you today, no matter how you got there, God can still get you out of that situation. So it says of this woman that she came, and for 18 years, she was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. So I want you to think about this. She'd been living with this. Some people, you've been dealing with a cold for the weekend, and we feel like we're going to die, right? I got a cold. I got the sniffles. And some people aren't here today because they have the sniffles, and that's okay. We'll pray for them too. God touch them right where they are right now. But imagine with me for a moment, like Jesus said to this synagogue ruler, think about it. Think about being sick for 18 years. But not just sick, like I got a scratchy throat. Like a sore throat is terribly annoying. It's awful, right? But could you imagine everywhere you went, people stared. Everywhere you went, it was obvious to them that you were not okay. Everywhere that you went, you were probably the object of jokes and people snickering. Or even you probably would just get tired of people even feeling sorry for you. I don't even want their pity anymore. I'm tired of everybody feeling sorry for me. 18 years, this had become the normal way of this woman's life. And she'd been bound for 18 years. And it says she could in no way lift herself or raise herself up. I want to share with you what that word raise, it means that she could not elevate herself. And there's so many people in life that are broken, and all they want is to be healed, but they can't do it on their own. I want you to know this today. Some of you have been trying and trying for months, years, decades to raise yourself up like this woman. That means when it says she could not raise herself up, that lends me to the thinking that she had at least tried to raise herself up. But you can't. Only Jesus can see and touch and know exactly what it is that you need help in today. So here she is. She's bent over, and she's been this way for 18 years, and she could not raise herself up. She tried, but she could not do it. And it says that she had a spirit of infirmity. That word infirmity is the Greek word asthenia, and it means this: weakness, frailty, want of strength, illness, suffering, calamity, or frailty. When you walk in this spirit, it deprives you of enjoying or accomplishing what you would like to do. As you look up this word in the help study in the Greek, it says that this word asthenia, when you have a spirit of weakness and frailty and want of strength, it deprives you of enjoying or accomplishing what you would like to do. Maybe there are things in your life, there's dreams that God has given you. He's spoken to you. He spoke to you through a prophetic word. He gave you a dream in the night. He gave you a vision. He revealed it to you through reading the Bible, in prayer. And there's things that you want to do, but because you have been stricken and bound with a spirit of infirmity, it's deprived you from what you've wanted or what you've been called to do. And so you have found yourself where naturally maybe you're okay. Maybe you're as fit as a fiddle, you're as healthy as a horse, you're as strong as an ox. I don't know, we could go on and list other things that maybe you're as healthy or as strong as you are. But on the outside, but on the inside, your spirit is bent over. And I'll tell you what, it's a terrible place to be where your body is strong, but your spirit is weak. And that's where Jesus prayed in the garden, and he said, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But there's also a place that we can get in life where the flesh is strong, but the spirit is weak. Where someone, you want to have a relationship with God, but you have frailty. You have weakness. You know, it's really hard to be strong when you're weak. It'd be really hard for me to tell, and I don't mean to make an example, but a child, like one, if I called my 5-year-old Boaz in here and asked him to pick up 100-pound weight, there's no way he could do it. Why? Because he's weak. Not because he's weak for five. He's weak in relation to a full-grown man. There's no way that he could pick up 100 pounds. And there's many of us that on the outside, we look great. We look strong. We look healthy, we're thriving, but if we could see with the eyes of God when people walk through that door and you had God x-ray vision and you could see the spirit of man and not just the body of a man, I imagine that many people, when they cross through the threshold of churches on every single Sunday morning, they walk in like this. They walk in physically standing, shaking hand. Hey, brother, how are you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored, brother. How are you doing? How are you doing, brother? I'm perfect. I'm too blessed to be stressed. And we come up with all this stuff. But if you could talk to their spirit and you said, how are you doing? Their spirit would say, I'm broken. I'm frail. I'm weak. I'm sick. And I need somebody to heal me. And Jesus sees what man cannot see. Because man judges by the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And as he looks at your heart, that means he's looking into your spirit. The Spirit of God is looking at your spirit, and he's saying, you don't have to be weak because I came to make you strong. Because in your weakness, he is strong. And you say, well, I thought Paul said, in my weakness, he is strong. Exactly. But you've got to come to the point where you say, my spirit is weak. It's broken. It's frail. I want to be strong, but I'm not strong. I want to be whole, but I'm not whole. I want to have peace, but instead, it seems like all I have is chaos and all I have is confusion. I want to be right with God. I want to be accepted by him. I want to have all the good qualities of a Christian person, but if you look at me on the inside, I'm broken down. And I'm doing the right things on the outside, but on the inside, I'm only doing it so that other people don't think that I'm not a good person. I'm doing it because I'm going through the motions, because my spirit is weak. There's calamity, there's frailty. Maybe you feel like everything that I do, it just seems to fall apart. Nothing goes right. Every time I put my hand to it, every time I try to go to church, but even at church, nothing seems to make a difference. What you need is you need to be loose today from the spirit of infirmity. And you may say, but I'm so scared, I'm so ashamed. What if people know? Guess what? They probably are too. Don't worry about them. Don't let someone else's stance, judgment, thoughts keep you from being free. So often that's what we do in church, is we're so worried about what the person behind us is going to think. We're so worried about what they're going to know that I'm struggling. Well, wouldn't you rather not struggle? Because you can keep struggling if you want to. You can stay in the spirit of infirmity, but you cannot stay sick if you come to Jesus. In the spirit, he'll heal your spirit. He'll give you a new heart. He wants to give you fullness. That Greek word, asthenia, it does mean to deprive someone of enjoying or accomplishing something, and that would speak to me that you're living life, but you're not enjoying life. The Bible says that the thief came only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said this. He said, I came so that you can have life and you can have life more abundantly. To me, that means he wants you to enjoy life. And when you have a spirit of infirmity, and I'm not just talking about a natural sickness. Again, I want to hit this home. I'm talking about being sick in your spirit, being weak in your spirit. You can't enjoy life. You could go on vacation and be miserable. You can go, you could inherit $1 million and still be miserable if you have a spirit of infirmity. You could have everything going right on the outside, and that's where so many people are living, is they might have everything in order, all their ducks in a row, all their I's dotted, all their T's crossed, but in their spirit, they're broken. In their spirit, they're wounded. In their spirit, they're wanting strength, and they're fail. And this word literally means to have feebleness of mind or body. And God wants to heal you from that. And when he says that she had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and she was bent over, that phrase bent over means to be completely overcome by something. You know what the Bible says? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It also says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. It also says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So that means that if Jesus is living inside of you, if the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is inside of you, he will quicken your mortal body, and you won't be overcome by the things that are breaking you down, but rather you will begin to overcome those things by the power of God that is living inside of you. Because listen to me, the kingdom of God is meant to be a kingdom of power. But the problem is most people have chosen popularity over power. What I mean by that is we are scared as Christians that if we talk about the power of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit and how he still heals and he still delivers and he still sets free, that people will be like, that's weird. I don't want anything to do with that. And the problem is when we live that way, we actually push ourselves further away from being able to influence anybody into the kingdom because we're not living in the kingdom. We are having kingdom tendencies while living outside of the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, is not in word, but it's in power. That means if you live in the kingdom of God, you live in a kingdom of power. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, both in heaven and on earth. And I'm talking to people today that we're supposed to live in the power of God. That as you go into your job, you carry the power of God. You don't just have to bring people to church to receive power. You can take this power out into the community. But when they came into church, there was obviously a situation, a synagogue, a religious place of meeting that there had been no power until Jesus showed up. So where there is no power, it means Jesus is not present. But where Jesus is, there is power, there is strength, there's anointing, there's joy, and there is healing. And so this woman was completely overcome. So maybe something's happened to you in your life. Maybe you lost somebody. Maybe you had a situation on your job. Maybe you had a financial destruction in your life. And on the outside, you're holding it all together, but on the inside, you're completely overcome. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. You don't know where to go. I'm telling you today, God wants to loose you from that spirit of infirmity that you've been walking in. Maybe it's been 18 years. Maybe it's been 18 months. Maybe it's been 18 minutes. Maybe somebody texted you while we were in service, and all of a sudden, your spirit just became overcame. You're like, what do I do? You look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. And guess what? He's seated right now at the right hand of the Father, signifying, I completed the work. It's all been taken care of. It's been paid for. It's been accomplished. And you can come to me and find everything that you need. So there's a woman with a spirit of infirmity who was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and he said, this woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. That word loosed in the Greek means to set free. But do you know what it really is used more so than any other time in the Bible and in the Greek language? Is to divorce. Now, I know that we're against divorce when it comes to a man and woman that God has joined together, because Jesus said, what God has joined together, let no man separate. We shouldn't be, you know, people that give into that mindset that, oh, we just can't get along, so we'll just break up. I believe that if it was God's will for you to marry that person, you should stay with that person. You should try to work it out, right? But in this sense, divorce is a good thing, because she didn't need to be attached to this spirit of infirmity anymore. And what had happened is, for this word to mean divorce, that means that there had to be a marriage. And so somewhere, this woman had married herself to a disabling spirit, which is actually how the English Standard Version translates the spirit of infirmity. It calls it a disabling spirit. And I love that translation. You know why? Because there are things in your life that you have married yourself to that are disabling you from being who God called you to be. They're disarming you from the power of God, the presence of God, and the purpose of God that he has placed on your life. And because you've married yourself to this spirit, today God is saying, I am writing a deed of divorce to break off what you have attached yourself to, what someone else has put on you that you were never meant to walk in, you were never meant to be a part of. And it means to divorce, it means to be away from, because it's the Greek word apolluo. And anytime you see apo in Greek, it means away from. Pro means towards. Apo means away from. And so Jesus is saying, you are going away from the infirmity. You've been running in infirmity. You've been walking in weakness. You've been walking in frailty. You've been walking in the desire of strength. But today, you are turning your back and you are loosed. All the ties have been cut off of your life and you are walking into who I called you to be. You're a daughter of Abraham. You're a child of God. And it's not his will that you would walk bound and fearful and upset, and I am setting you at liberty today. And he laid his hands on her. I want to tell you today, we still believe in the laying on of hands. Immediately, she was made straight. I believe that there are some things in the kingdom of God that are processes. I really do. In fact, most of the time in the Bible, when the word healed is used, it means a process of restoration. That's what it actually means. There are some things in your life, they take time to get healing over. You walk with God. The renewal of your mind is a process. You have to learn how to think right. The renewal, maybe you've dealt with foul language, obscene talk coming out of your mouth. Guess what? You're not going to all of a sudden one day stop cussing. It's going to be a process of saying, okay, I want my mouth to only speak that which is seasoned of grace, seasoned with salt, that I may know how to answer each one. I'm not going to let any unwholesome talk come out of my mouth except that which is necessary. But that doesn't mean you won't slip up and say a word every now and then. I'm not giving you a green light or a license to do that. What I'm saying is it's a process of learning how to think right, how to talk right, how to make the right decisions. But in the spirit of this woman, she was healed immediately. It wasn't, Jesus didn't say, okay, you can raise up an eighth of an inch and next week come back to the synagogue. I'll pray for you again. You can be raised another inch and then, or eighth of an inch, and then we'll work you back up to an upright position. I want you to know today, what has held you for 18 years in one moment with Jesus laying his hands on you and speaking to you, the virtue that flows from him can cause you to be raised up in your spirit. You see, the reason that the church has done things in the process is it's easy to explain that to people, but also it keeps people dependent on man. You come back next week, I'll pray for you again. You'll feel a little bit better next week. You come back next week, we'll pray for you again. Jesus says, I can do it right now. What man can't do, I can do it right now and immediately. And you know what she did? She glorified God. I believe that there's going to be some people in this place today glorifying God because he's going to touch you in a way that you haven't been touched before or you haven't been touched in years. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, angry, his reason being that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And so he spoke to the crowd. There are 6 days on which men ought to work, therefore come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. You know what my problem is with this? Is he promises you can come get healed on the other 6 days, but here's a woman who's had it for 18 years. And she hadn't gotten it yet. He's like, oh, come back tomorrow and I'll heal you. But don't come today. Why? Because he couldn't actually heal her. She'd been coming. Probably, most likely, this was her house of worship. This is where she came, and for 18 years. And Jesus says, think about it. Should not she be loosed? And here you are promising, come back tomorrow. But the problem is you couldn't do it then. You can't do it tomorrow. But you just want an excuse to say, well, it's just because it's on the Sabbath. But that's not going to change anything. The day of the week ain't going to change anything. If you don't have the power of God to heal this woman's spirit, she's not going to get healed. And so he tries to make excuses. And that's what we want to do all the time when the power of God is not present, is we want to make excuses. Here's why. It's this. It's that. We're getting attacked by a spirit of this. We're getting attacked by a spirit of that. We're having this come against us. We're having this come against us. Jesus walked into that place. He saw it. He identified it. He called her out. He healed her, and she was set free on that day from 18 years. And I love this right here, verse 15. Because this man stands up. And he begins basically to defend himself and to defend his synagogue and say, basically, we could have done it, but we don't do it on Sundays. We don't do it today. We're like Chick-fil-A. We'll make you the best fast food meal Monday through Saturday. Sunday, we're closed. Can't come get it here today. And so I love verse 15. Then the Lord answered him and said, and this is why I love this. Jesus did not answer this man as a man. You see, Jesus was 100% man, 100% God. He came in the form of flesh, but he was the Son of God. He was God. God in the flesh. You don't believe it? Go read John chapter 1. It explains it very clearly. Jesus came and dwelt among us, and we beheld him as the only Son of God. He identified himself as the Son of God. And when Jesus answered this man, it says the Lord answered him. He didn't answer him as a man. He answered him as the Lord. He answered him in his sonship and in his lordship and as God, not as a man. And he rebuked him and he said, you're a hypocrite. He said, you're saying that she could come on another day of the week and be healed, but she's been sick for 18 years. So how can you claim that she'd get healed on another day when here she is still bound? And then he says, does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound? Think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. You know what Jesus is speaking to? He's speaking to, one, this man's selfishness, but two, he's speaking to his compassion. He's saying, listen, dude, you care more about your animals. You care more about your donkey or your ox than you do this woman. Because you'd go on the Sabbath, and if it was thirsty, you wouldn't mind giving it a drink. If it had need of water, you would lead it over to the well because it's just a poor little donkey. It's just a little ox, and it depends on me. But here's a daughter of Abraham. What does that mean? Here's the highest form of creation that God ever made, and you won't so much as give her a drink. You won't so much as help her. You won't so much as create an atmosphere, a place where God can move and heal this woman from the spirit of infirmity that has kept her bent over and unable to stand up for 18 years. You really care more about animals than you do about people. Why? Because that animal can do for you what you tell it to do. The reason you care about that animal is because it helps you get your work done. The reason you don't care about this woman is she can't do anything for you. But he said, don't you think that she should be loosed from her infirmity? And when he said these things, I love this, all his adversaries were put to shame. That means not just this one, but there were others too. It didn't say his adversary was put to shame. It was all of them. Why? Because he answered him in the lordship of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus speaks as the Lord, he has all authority that's been given to him on heaven and on earth. And he looks back at that man and he speaks in authority. He says, you're a hypocrite. And that man can't go, no, I'm not. Because Jesus explained to him how he was dealing in hypocrisy. And I refuse to be a leader of a church or attend a church or be a part of a church that does not have kingdom activity going on inside of it. Because in the kingdom of God, there's power. People may come in bent over, but they leave walking. They have a new countenance. They have a new glow about them. Wouldn't it be amazing if you showed up at work tomorrow and someone says, there's something different about you. Did you get your hair cut? No, I didn't get my hair cut. My spirit was bent over, but now it's standing up straight. And you may say, well, that's weird. If you are still more concerned with what they think about you than you being healthy and whole, then you will probably stay in your spirit of infirmity. But I'm telling you today, he'll loose anybody that wants to be loosed. It's not me. It's not because of me. This is what God is saying to us today. And it says that they rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet with me today. I don't have some humongous point or place or platform or a runway to land this plane on, but I do have this to say. Silver and gold we may not have. As Peter and John looked at that man at the gate, beautiful, he'd been sitting there lame for years and years and years. And they'd watched their rabbi, they'd watched their teacher, they'd watched the Messiah, they'd watched Jesus as the Lord when he'd raised this woman up from being bent over. And this man sitting by the gate, beautiful, and they were on their way to pray, and he said, alms, alms. And Peter looked at him and he said, look at me. Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I do have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And I'm telling you today, God wants to raise you up in your spirit. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to allow God to begin to search your heart. The reason I ask you to bow your head and close your eyes right now is not because there's something that you should be embarrassed about, because this is a place of freedom. This is a place of honesty. This is a place of openness. This is a place where you can get help and you can get freedom and you're not going to receive judgment for it. The reason I ask you to close your eyes right now is so that you can focus on God, so that you're not distracted by what's on the screen. You're not distracted by the person next to you. You're not distracted by, is there lint on your clothes? You're not distracted by what you're going to eat later. Close your eyes and focus on God. And allow him to, I want you to hear Jesus. Just like he called to that woman. He saw her and he didn't just see her. He called to her. I want you to know Jesus doesn't just see you where you are. He doesn't just know your problems. He's not just aware of them. He's calling to you today and he's saying, if you'll come, you could be loosed from your infirmity. I will give you a certificate of divorce today that you can be divorced from this frailty, this want of strength, this lack of wholeness. And so hear him calling. And as you hear him calling and you're saying, I want to be healed in my spirit, I'm going to invite you to come and find a place in the altar today. And I believe God is going to touch you. So at any point today, you just right now, you just begin to get out of your seat and come here. It's not me that's going to heal you. It's not somebody else. I believe God today is calling, and he is calling spirits to be straightened up today in Jesus' name. He's calling you to stand up. He's calling you to what you could not raise yourself out of today, God is going to raise you out of. He's going to heal your spirit. He sees you right where you are, and he's calling you. And he's not just calling you or you or you. He's calling you by your name because he knows your name. He's speaking. I can hear him speaking right to your heart, and he's calling your name. He knows you. He knows your problems. He knows your circumstances. He knows your situation. And the problem is so often we get in these seasons and situations in life where we're like, do you even care? Do you see me? Do you know I'm struggling? I'm bent over. I'm trying to stand up, but I can't. And Jesus says today, I see you. And I don't just see you. I'm calling you because I'm placing my hands upon you and I'm healing you. So I say today, be loose from your infirmity. Be loosed from that weakness. Be loosed from that frailty. Be loosed from that illness. Be loosed from suffering. Not the type of suffering that you suffer for the kingdom or for the gospel, but the kind of suffering that's brought on you by the pain or the discouragement or the hurt or the brokenness of what someone did to you or what you did to you. And today we serve a divorce statement against the bonds of the enemy, the wickedness, the weakness, the lack of strength that's caused you to be bent over. I feel like there's still a few more today. Again, I say to you, there's no one here that's going to judge you. We're not trying to make a spectacle of you. We're not going to take a picture of you and post you on Facebook and say, look who got healed at the well today. This is about what God wants to do for you. This isn't about what you're doing for, you're not responding to me today. God is issuing a call forth and he's saying, if you're hurting, if you're broken, if you're bent over and you cannot stand up, maybe you look good on the outside, but spiritually things are not okay. Come and receive healing. There's a touch from God today. The Bible says he laid his hands upon her. Jesus, I ask that you would lay your hand, that you would stretch forth your hand and heal today. God, what's been years and years of brokenness, a whole generation almost of pain and burden and illness and frailty, today Jesus says, be loosed, be loosed. I believe you're going to get up from this place today and you're going to stand up, but it's not going to be in your strength. It's going to be in the strength that comes from heaven. I pray the power of God over every single body and mind today. And I say, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. If you're in the altar, you just stay right here. Can we put on a ministry track, Brandon? If you're in your seats, I want to speak to you for a moment today. And I want you to know this, that sometimes we miss opportunities that God is giving us to be healed and to be restored because we responded at other times and we didn't see him do it the way we thought he was going to do it. And so maybe there's someone out there today and you're thinking, I've tried the altar thing. I've tried the prayer thing. I've tried to believe for healing, but I didn't see it. It didn't happen for me. It wasn't immediate enough. Like it said in the scripture, it was immediate. I'm telling you today, there's a grace and an anointing here to heal your spirit. And I don't do this often, but as Paul would say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I beseech you, if you're in your seat and your spirit is wounded and broken, don't miss this opportunity, but grasp it. Maybe you got hurt in church. Maybe a pastor did you wrong, lied to you, took advantage of you. Maybe at work, you've always been the brunt of everyone's frustration. Maybe at home you were just never accepted or loved. Maybe you made a mistake, and when you made that mistake, ever since then your spirit's been broken. I'm telling you today, he wants to raise you up. He wants you to stand up straight. He wants you to overcome this infirmity, this weakness. God called you to be a person of strength. And so, Father, I pray for every heart that's here today. God, it's not by me. It's only by you. It was Jesus that healed that woman. And I believe that it's Jesus that still heals today. So Lord, let us see your power at work in our life. And Lord, I pray that countenances would change. Lord, I pray that people would say, there's something different about you, your spirit, you're more alive, you're more free. God, give grace, as I know that you will, because you're a God of grace today. We love you. And Lord, I just want to thank you. If you have received a touch from God today, just begin to thank him. God, may we never be like the nine lepers that got healed, but they didn't offer thanks. But Lord, we're like the one that came back and said, thank you. So Father, I thank you for healing me. I thank you for the times that you've renewed my spirit. Listen, this doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. It doesn't mean you don't love God or want to do what's right. Sometimes you just get broken. Sometimes things just happen that beat you down. Life doesn't go. You're trying to serve God with everything that you are, but everywhere you turn, you're just getting beat down and beat down. And today, God is healing you, but we're going to thank him for the healing. So God, we praise you. We give you the glory. Just like in this passage of scripture, they glorified God for the things that he had done, and the adversaries were put to shame. Lord, I pray for the adversaries that have been coming against the house of God to be put to shame today. The people that have been speaking against and judging against, I rebuke them in Jesus' name. In fact, there's a spirit that's been working amongst this house, and it's a critical spirit, and I rebuke it right now. Everyone that's tried to criticize you, speak against you, tear you down. They don't understand what God spoke to you. They don't know what God's doing in your life. I rebuke the critical spirit that would speak against you and would try to hinder what God is doing. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. The one that would express adverse or disapproving comments or judgments, let their voice be silenced today. The critical spirit that has sought to put you in critical condition, I break it right now in Jesus' name and take authority. Your word says, oh God, that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will also be loosed in heaven. Those that would try to indicate your faults instead of appreciating your strengths, I silence them over your life today. And Lord, I pray for the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, to rule and to reign in our hearts. And Lord, I just pray for healing and for peace and deliverance in Jesus' name today. If you're in your seat, would you just lift your hands right now and receive this blessing? I want to speak a blessing over you, and you can be released today. Thank you for attending with us at the Well Fort Payne today. I hope that you've received a touch from God and you've known that he's real and he loves you. And there is nothing that he would not do to have you a part of his kingdom. If you don't know him, don't go another day without knowing him. If you're not walking in the fullness of his kingdom and you're not drinking from the river of living water, don't go another day dying of thirst. Come to him, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And so, Lord, I just speak your blessing today, and I say over your people, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may you receive the healing touch of God today that would loose you from anything that held you back, anything that keeps you from everything that he called you to do. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's worry. He knows what it is, and there's nothing too strong for him. He is yet greater. And so, Lord, I pray that you would break everything off of every life. This woman didn't even ask for healing. Jesus just called to her. There's someone here today, you didn't respond because you're like, that's not for me. Jesus says to you today, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. You couldn't free yourself, but I'm freeing you right now. Not me, but that's what Jesus says to you. Do your work, oh God. We bless you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Love you.